Thanks for joining us online at New Life Church. We're so excited for the message that we'd love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life, our community, and the world. If you have a story to share, email us at info@newlife4kokomo.org. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online at newlife4kokomo.org or on the New Life Church app. Thanks again for joining us, and prepare your heart to hear from the Word of God.
This morning, I'm glad you're here. To them and channel it into the right place. And there's an opportunity at our event table for you to plug into another missions opportunity, so check that out. John chapter 10, knowing and trusting. What do you know and who do you trust? You know, everything in the scriptures is intended to point us back towards God. This world's not our home. Philippians chapter 3 tells us that we are citizens of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that Abraham was looking forward to a city with eternal foundations whose builder and maker is God. And that same chapter also tells us that the great heroes of the faith believed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. If you're like me, every day that goes by, you feel more and more and more like a foreigner, like an alien, like this world is not my home, and I'm looking forward to another place and another culture. You see, God created us. God created you. God created all humanity with the intent to have pure, unadulterated fellowship and connection with Him. And that's for our benefit. He didn't create us that way for His benefit. But people disobeyed. People gave up. People walked out on the agreement. And as a result of that, the connection with God that He designed was broken. Everything in human existence since has been an attempt to regain that initial purpose of connection with God. People often try to regain that connection in so many ways other than what God has designed. They try to gain it through drugs. They try to gain it through various sexual relationships or money or power, all kinds of various religious practices, seeking the supernatural. Humankind is always seeking for something that is beyond us. And God has always tried to regain that connection by revealing Himself to people. He revealed Himself to Noah. He revealed Himself to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He revealed Himself to Moses and to the people of Israel. And all of that was intended to be a pattern for the kingdom of God. And then Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus came to unveil. He came to reveal the kingdom of God. He came to illustrate and teach how we could get back to that kingdom of God and have the connection with God that He created us for. This world's temporary. Everything about this world is temporary. The things that we value so much, they're all temporary. It's all gonna burn. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us the heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. It also tells us the day of the Lord is going to come, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Only our souls will remain. There's nothing of this material world that you know, that you have, that you possess, that you want. Nothing will last. Only the soul will remain. And God wants us to be restored to that original state of relationship and connection that He created us for, where we'll have that pure, unadulterated connection with Him. And that, again, it's for our benefit. It is for our ultimate joy. He's reaching out to us. God has always wanted you to know how to get back to His kingdom. God's always wanted you to know how to get back to His kingdom. So He's made a way for that connection with God to be restored. If we receive it, then we'll be part of His kingdom forever. If we don't receive it, we'll be separated from God forever. Never a chance to regain the original state of fellowship and connection with God that He intended us to have for our benefit. If we miss the opportunities in this life to reconnect with God, the Bible reveals that there's no other opportunities beyond those that are presented to us in this life. Now, there's always been people throughout the centuries that believed that they had a special knowledge beyond the Bible, special revelation beyond the Bible that no one else had, beyond what Jesus brought, beyond what the disciples brought. In this passage today, John chapter 10, John's given us all the knowledge we need. John's given us all the knowledge we need for that reconnection and fellowship with God. I call this a magnificent education because this is the knowledge about God's kingdom that He wants us to know, and He has freely given it to us. There's been a lot of talk this year about free education. Listen, you don't have to vote for anybody to get free education. You're here this morning. You're getting the free education. This is it. This is the education. This is the knowledge that God wants you to have. Five truths about the kingdom of God. Five truths about the kingdom of God from John chapter 10. Number one, Jesus is the only way in. Jesus is the only way in. That's his claim. First 10 verses. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They'll run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate. Jesus said, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, he repeats himself, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, this is the hard part for a lot of people to receive. For some reason, they just do not want to believe that Jesus is the only way. They have a difficult time accepting that. Maybe it's because they know if they follow Jesus, then he will have to become Lord of their lives. And many of us, we want to stay Lord of our own lives. We want to stay in charge. We don't want to yield up control. But if Jesus is the only way, we've got to make him Lord. So people look for other ways where they can stay Lord. They can stay in control. They look for other gates, but they're going to miss the plane. Jesus said, here I am. It's me. He made it plain. He made it obvious. Many have not heard about this. Many simply don't want it to be this way. You may have flown from time to time. When I fly, I get a ticket. And that ticket tells me what gate I have to go to. And if my ticket says, in order for you to fly to Orlando, Florida, you got to get to gate A23 by a certain amount of time, then I can't go to gate C24, else I might end up in Los Angeles. You see, I can't just say, hey, I believe that I can get to my destiny. It doesn't matter what gate I go to. Sure, they said I've got to go to gate A23, but that doesn't really matter. I can just choose whatever gate I want to and reach my destination. You'll get lost that way. And so we've got a ticket for you this morning. Ushers, help us. These guys have stayed up here. They're going to sing a little song for you while the ushers give you the ticket that you need to get to the right destination. You might want to sing along. Recognize this? Name that tune.
All my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing here inside your door. I hate to wake you up.
Don't forget the balcony, guys. The balcony needs
to
take a trip.
Goodbye. But the dawn is breaking. It's early morn. The taxi's waiting. He's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry.
He starts singing along now.
So kiss me and smile.
Don't kiss
for
me. I don't want you to kiss me.
Tell me that you'll wait for me.
Hey, Jim.
Hold me like you'll never let me go.
You're already closer to the destination just by sitting in the bathroom.
'Cause I'm leaving.
Ticket, it says today's date, destination, eternal life, and the gate is Jesus. If you're going to get to the destination that God designed for you, this is the gate you got to go through. You can't go to C24 if the gate says A23. And this gate says Jesus. And there's no other way. Jesus himself is the one designed it. Jesus himself. Not only is he the gate, but secondly, Jesus is the guide. Thanks, ushers. Thanks for helping us out. Thank your airline desk people. I don't know what they're called, desk people. Verses 11 through 13, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. A shepherd is a guide. So we not only need to know where the gate is and who the gate is, we need to have a guide if we're going to get to the ultimate destination. A flight attendant, if you will. And we have a flight attendant that's part of New Life Church, Laurel Podgorski, and so she's helping us out on our journey.
Hello, and welcome aboard Heavenly Air. My name's Laurel. I'll be your flight leader on today's flight. Please direct your attention to the flight attendants in the aisle as we point out some of the important safety features of our aircraft. Your seatbelt must be securely fastened at this time. Seatbelts may be purchased for $5. To fasten, insert the metal tip into the buckle, tighten by pulling on the strap so it is low and tight across your lap. To release the belt, purchase a release lever for $7. We know what you're thinking. We've never had to pay for seatbelts before. Federal regulations require all passengers to comply with crew instructions, posted placards, and lighted information signs. Basically, do as we say and nobody gets hurt. We don't anticipate a loss of oxygen today. If we did, we certainly wouldn't be at work. However, if there is a loss of cabin pressure, a panel above your seat will open, revealing oxygen masks. If this happens, place the mask over your nose and mouth. Secure your own mask before helping others. If you're traveling with children today, we're sorry. If you're traveling with more than one child, be sure to help the child out with the most potential first. To start the flow of oxygen, insert 75 cents for the first minute and 50 cents for each additional minute. Exact change is preferred. Your flight attendants will be coming through the aisle to perform our final safety checks. Be sure to let us know how good looking we are. And if there's anything we can do to make your flight more enjoyable, be sure to let us know as soon as we land at our final destination. And welcome aboard Heavenly Air. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your flight.
All right. Thank you, Laurel. She's right back there. Thank Laurel for giving us our guidance we need today. Now, we got to know where the gate is. And we got to know who our guide is. We got to be following the right guide. A shepherd is a guide. He leads the sheep. He finds pasture for the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He protects the sheep. But those sheep go nowhere without the guidance of the shepherd. Jesus is the guide to the restoration of God's original plan. When I go someplace, if I've never been there before, it's good for me to have a guide. I've known this from experience. A few years ago, we went to Northern Ireland. Our son was in a college choir. Of course, you know, you got to go to all your kids' choir events, right? So we planned 3 years ahead so we could follow the choir around. And this picture is myself with Dr. Haddon Wilson. He is a great preacher, great professor. He's got a great heart for God, a great heart for his nation, Northern Ireland. A number of years ago, he began coming back and forth to the college that my son went to and began guiding the choirs. He was the guide. He set up the places where they would stay. He set up the places where they would sing. And man, as long as I was with him, this picture was taken on the northern coast of Ireland, as long as we were with him, we didn't have any trouble. And yet, since, you know, we were parents, but we, you know, college kids don't need chaperones, so we didn't hang around with them all the time. We rented a car ourselves and drove around ourselves some, and there was a sunny night when we were trying to get to the destination. We were trying to get to the place, and it was a while before I realized I was going in the wrong direction. And this ain't like an interstate where you can just turn around. You're like in the middle of fields with sheep everywhere and bah, bah, and all this other kind of stuff. And there's colors painted on the backsides of the sheep, but that's a whole other story I can't get into right now. And you guys, you think that, I've heard so many people complain about the roundabouts around here. Oh, I don't like those roundabouts. It's hard to get in. It's hard to get out. Well, picture yourself driving on the wrong side of the car, on the wrong side of the road, and having to go the wrong direction into the roundabout and then trying to get out. That'll make you nuts. That's one of the hardest things that I had to do when I was driving over there. The other thing that was really harder is, you know, when here in America, when you turn right, all you got to do is look for the traffic that way, but you're not crossing the traffic pattern. That's the thing that I forgot more than anything else when I was driving over there on the wrong side of the road. I would look, nothing coming, so I turned, whoa, there's another car coming at me that way. Unbelievable. We finally made it. About 20 minutes after the service started, the choir was just singing their first song. I flew low about 90 miles an hour on those side roads and didn't hit any sheep, so I was really excited about it. But then after the trip to Northern Ireland, we went to London. We flew into an airport about an hour north of London, stayed there overnight. So the next morning, all we had to do is get on the train and an hour train ride into London, begin to see the sights. No problem, right? Problem is, you know, we don't have trains here, you know, that get us from place to place in Greentown or Kokomo or even Indianapolis. And so we're on the train ride for about an hour, and we realize we ain't getting anywhere near a city. We're way out in the country, and we realized we had gotten on the train going the wrong direction. And so we got off the train, and we're sitting there at the train station, and this is what it's like to be lost in England. 2 hours north of London, we've wasted an hour. Now it's 2 hours to get back, and I got to get my wife to see Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, or else it's just going to blow the whole trip. You know, people will be a lot worse off than this if they do not accept that Jesus is the guide to the kingdom of God. Well, we finally made it into London, finally made it to Buckingham Palace. Here we are in front of the Queen's house. That's not Photoshop. We were really there. Queen wasn't there. I could have Photoshopped the Queen. She wasn't there. We didn't get to see her. But you know what? This is the 90th birthday celebration year of Queen Elizabeth. And she put together a book for her 90th birthday. And in that book, she said, Jesus is the King that I serve. Isn't that awesome? She realizes there's a power higher than me. There's a potentate higher than me. There's a royalty that's higher than me. There's a rulership that's higher than me. She said, Jesus is the King that I serve. Well, after that, we have some missionaries that we support. You guys help us support through New Life Missions in Paris. They planted a church called The Bridge. They're pastoring that church. They're getting ready to go to 3 services on Sunday. They're getting ready to launch another campus. God is blessing. It's moving and growing. And so we were trying to find their place now as we got to Paris, in a suburb of Paris. And you've heard the term backpacking, you know, across Europe. This is what it looks like to backpack across Europe. And this was when we're walking down the street in the suburb of Paris. I couldn't call them. Didn't know where they were. We said, oh, we'll find your place. Got an address. We're walking. Maybe we've gone too far and missed the turn. Walked all the way back near the place where we got off that train. Walked back. I'm just wandering. And all my stuff's in the backpack. 2 weeks of stuff in the backpack. Suitcase, the extra bag, all that sharing stuff. That's what I looked like walking downtown London, seeing sights, you know, walking in. And we finally found it, but it sure would have helped me if I'd had a guide. I was lost every place we went. Then after this, we went to Germany. Got no pictures of Germany. I do have pictures of Germany. No pictures of being lost in Germany. It just was, you know, try being in a little shop. They said, you know, the Germans might not be the nicest people. This lady we found, she was the nicest lady, because she just kept talking to me in German, trying to help me. But she didn't know a word of English. I didn't know a word of German. But she was so nice. After I walked away, you know, danke, danke, and I walked away, and we got up on the train platform. We're still standing there. 20 minutes later, we're still looking at this thing on the train platform, because, you know, all of the streets are something Vanderplatz and something Strausse, and there's like 100 Strausses and 100 Plotzes and all this. We have no clue where we're going. And it's like, thank the Lord that there still wasn't a division between East Berlin and West Berlin. We actually stayed in the East Berlin side, but... And that just felt kind of weird, you know? I mean, for people of our generation, I'm like, I'm in the Eastern Berlin side here, sleeping overnight. But she came up 20 minutes later. She came up, and once again, she's talking to me in German. I'm just like, thank you. Danke. No clue. If we're going to get back to the kingdom that God originally designed for us to live in, we've got to have a guide. And if you don't accept that Jesus is the guide to get us to the destination of the kingdom of God, you're going to be more lost than I was in all of these places in Europe. Jesus, number 3, sacrificed his life to make this possible. He's the gate, he's the guide, and he sacrificed his life to make this possible. Verses 14 through 18, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. There will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again, for this is what my Father has commanded. So first he sacrificed his life in heaven. He was the infinite God in heaven. Sacrificed that existence to come down to this earth as a human being, live as a human, walk as a human, and then was mutilated and tortured, his back beaten like hamburger and the thorns in his head and the nails in his hands and in his feet. He made the sacrifice of his life in heaven, and then he made the sacrifice of that great torture and that great gift on this earth. John 10, 19 through 21. Then when he had said these things, the people were again divided in their opinions about him. Some said he's demon possessed and out of his mind. Why listen to a man like that? Others said, this doesn't sound like a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? He sacrificed his life to make this possible. And then when we believe this, knowledge about the kingdom of God is opened up to us. We believe what John is telling us here, that Jesus is the gate, Jesus is the guide, that he sacrificed his life to make this possible. When we believe that, knowledge about the kingdom of God is opened up to us. I don't know how many people I've talked to that said, I really didn't understand this until I stepped out in faith. And I believed, I just simply believed that the Bible is true in what it says about Jesus. And I trusted him. And then they began to understand, because the Holy Spirit moves in at that point of faith. The Holy Spirit moves in. And over and over and over, I've heard people say, then I finally understood. Verses 22 to 27, it was now winter. And Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. He was in the temple walking through the section known as Solomon's Colonnade. The people surrounded him and asked, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus replied, I've already told you and you don't believe me. The proof is the work I do in my Father's name, but you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Listen, there is no other special knowledge. There's no other special knowledge, there's no other special revelation other than what's revealed in the Bible. There's a lot of people today who are trying to get some kind of special spiritual knowledge beyond what the scriptures reveal. This is where we get Mormonism, this is where we get Islam, this is where we get Jehovah's Witnesses, this is where we get Hinduism and Taoism and all the other false religions. And in John's day, he wrote this in part because there was a group of people known as the Gnostics. They believed that they had special revelation, special knowledge, special insight beyond what the Bible reveals, beyond what Jesus revealed, beyond what the disciples revealed. If anyone has a knowledge that claims to have information beyond the Bible, steer clear of that teaching. When we believe in Jesus, all of the knowledge of the kingdom of God is opened up to us, and we need no other knowledge. All else is false. You know, you're in school. Go back to when you were in school. Teacher, if it's a good teacher, that teacher's going to give you the information you need for the test. You learn what the teacher taught you, you're going to pass the test. But say another kid comes along and says, hey, I can help you out. And they start feeding you all kinds of information beyond what the teacher gave. All kinds of information that you really don't need to know. And so you're trying to absorb not just what the teacher taught, but then you're trying to absorb all this other stuff that this other know-it-all kid has said. And you end up flunking the test because you've been confused by additional information. Stick with the teaching of the teacher. Stick with Jesus. Stick with the knowledge he gives, because he is the Son of God and he came to get us back to the kingdom. The fifth truth is this: when we believe, we receive eternal life. When we believe, we receive eternal life. Verses 28 through 30, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one, who is he talking about? The ones that believe he's the gate, the ones that believe he's the guide. No one can snatch them away from me, for my Father has given them to me, and he's more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. So then we're restored to the original plan. No one can change that except us. No one can. Once you get to the gate, don't walk away and miss the plane. Stay with the gate. Stay with the guide. Verses 31 through 40. Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I've done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? They replied, we're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus replied, "It's written in your own scriptures that God said to certain leaders of the people, 'I say you are gods,' and you know that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? After all, the Father set me apart and sent me into the world. Don't believe me unless I carry out my Father's work. But if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I have done. Even if you don't believe me, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Once again, they tried to arrest him, but he got away and left them. He went beyond the Jordan River near the place where John was first baptizing and stayed there a while. So you see, these people, they got confused because they thought the kingdom of God was something on this earth. They thought the kingdom of God was something of this earth. No, since mankind disobeyed way back in the beginning and lost that pure, unadulterated fellowship with God, everything in this earth falls short of that ideal. We're trying to get back to that ideal. And Jesus came to show us the way. He came to show us how to get back, to open the door, to provide a way for us to get back to God's original plan for us. And it was his miracles, it was his teaching, it was his death, it was his resurrection that brought this about and made it possible. You know, they couldn't believe, and they called it blasphemy because they were only looking at the evidence of this world. They were only looking at the physical evidence of this world. They were only looking at science, if you will. They could not see beyond the physical realm. So they remained blind to the eternal reality that Jesus was trying to show them. They missed the opportunity for the eternal restoration. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's a book that's come out that I'm aware of. It's really undermining belief that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And in part of that book, it's questioning the miracles as if they're just crazy and out of hand. Well, a question that came across my mind as I contemplated that this week is, do you believe in the resurrection? If you believe in the resurrection, why don't you believe in all the other miracles? If you don't believe in the resurrection, that's not Christianity. So the resurrection, just believing that Jesus died and he rose again, that opens the door for us to believe everything else the Bible said. And many of it defies, goes against, because you see, God is the one. Here's why it's called a miracle. Here's why it's called supernatural. God himself is the one who established the order of nature. God himself is the one who established the order of science. Jim Barry owns a business. Jim Barry started the business. Jim Barry runs the business. Jim Barry can change that business any way he wants to. He don't have to sell used cars. He can start selling tiddlywinks if he wants to, because it's his business and he can change the order of the business if he wants to. God established the order, and God can supersede, circumvent, and change the natural order of things anytime he wants to. So I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the miraculous. I believe in the supernatural. And anyone who only looks at the evidence of this world, anyone who only looks at the science of this world, anyone who only looks, I'm not saying don't, there's so much that verifies God's plan, but anyone who only looks at what the realm of this world can show them will miss the eternal reality and the eternal restoration of pure, unadulterated fellowship and connection with God. But there were a few. Verses 41 and 42. Many followed him. John, talking about John the Baptist. John didn't perform miraculous signs, they remarked to one another, but everything he said about this man has come true. And many who were there believed in Jesus. And you can do that this morning. You can believe in Jesus. You can put your faith and your trust in Jesus. Here's a final thought I want to leave you with. No opposition will ever change the truth. No amount of opposition will ever change the truth. Jesus, he's alive. He's Lord. He's God. He died on the cross to pay for the disobedience and separation of all of mankind. He rose from the dead to bring us back into the relationship that God originally planned for everybody. And you can believe that today. You can receive that today. You can enter into a relationship with Jesus today. Let's bow our heads together. You might want to say this morning, I believe. I believe that Jesus is that gate. Now, let me tell you something before we pray. This ticket that we gave you, just holding on to this ticket won't get you there. This ain't like going to the airport, just this ticket. But you have to believe in what this ticket represents. You have to believe and trust. When the airlines gives me gate A23 to Orlando, I have to believe that they're telling me the truth. And I go to gate A23. And I put my faith and my trust in their guidance and in their direction to get to the destination. I've got to believe that Jesus is the gate. It's what he said. I've got to believe that he's the gate. I've got to believe that he's the guide. And how do I express that belief? The Bible says, I agree with, I confess. The word confession means to agree. I agree with what the Bible says, that I am separated from God without Jesus. And I can confess Jesus as Lord, gate, guide, who brings me back into the relationship with God that he designed for me. And if you want to express that faith today, I want to invite you to pray. I can't pray the prayer for you, but I want you to express with your mouth in prayer that you believe Jesus is the gateway to eternal life, that he's the guide to the relationship with God that he wanted for us. And I'm going to ask you to do two things. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you then to check that box on that connection card Pastor Steve referred to a moment ago that says, I'm making a decision today to follow Christ. If you're doing this for the first time or the first time in a long time, we just want to know. I just want to send you a letter to encourage you and help you know what your next steps could be in following Christ, and your next steps could be in your relationship with God. Not going to call you, not going to come knocking on your door. Just want to send you a simple letter that says, here's where your next steps are in this relationship with God. So I want to invite you to pray right where you're at. I want you to say words, something along these lines. Dear Jesus, I recognize that I've separated from God. I recognize I have sin in my life that separated me from God. And I ask you, Jesus, because of your cross, to forgive me. Forgive me. I confess that you are the gate. You are the guide. You are the only way. You are the Son of God. I believe in you and I put my trust in you. Father, I pray today for anyone who's praying this prayer today for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Holy Spirit, their lives in such a way that they would have the assurance of eternal life. In Jesus' name. Father, give each one of us a hunger for your word. Give each one of us a thirst for your spirit. Let's stand together. We're going to sing again. Worship him. I want you to worship him as we sing for the cross that made it possible for us to get to this destination and reconnect with God. And I want to ask some of our leaders, if you're here right now, leaders, just step out. Our deacons, our small group leaders, just step out right now. Come down across the front.